Hello, my name is Dr. Samuel Kim.
And I'm Sharon Kim.
And welcome to Research Sense for Korean American Therapy, a podcast that removes barriers and gives you a rundown of the latest Korean American mental health research.
Today's episode is on the willingness to use mental health counseling and antidepressants in older Korean Americans, the role of beliefs and stigma about depression. This was written by Nansuk Park, Yuri Chang, and David A. Chiriboga. This was published in 2018. Dr. Sam, I was really interested in this article because it talks and focuses on older Korean Americans, Korean American senior citizens. And I really couldn't stop thinking about my grandparents themselves. My paternal grandparents were immigrated to Paraguay in the 1970s. They had immigrated out of Korea in 1960s, but they were very traditional. They were stuck in the 1960s way, you know, they in their thinking, very conservative. And I kept thinking, would I ever talk to them about depression, mental health? And I just couldn't remember any time when they ever mentioned mental health to me, or whether I talked to them about depression. Or, you know, granted, I was too young. I think I was in elementary school when I actually stopped living or seeing them because I had to move to another country. But that was just something I kept thinking is, if they were alive today, how would I talk to them about mental health? Have you ever talked to your grandparents about mental health?
Yeah, that's so interesting to think about it. And I think when you talk about mental health with older Korean Americans, they often go back to their suffering. Like, we went through so much that we didn't have time to think about mental health. It's almost like having a mental illness was a luxury in the way that they talk about it. Mm-hmm. I never talked about it with my mother's parents, my maternal grandparents, because they passed away when I was younger. But my father's mother, who's still alive, we talk about it every now and then, but not in the way that you would think. There are mental health issues there throughout my family. And I distinctly remember talking about a family member, and I said, I think they might have depression. And I think I was in graduate school or finishing up graduate school, so I knew the term because I looked it up. And I said, I think that family member might have depression. And instead of something where my grandmother would say, like, oh, no, that doesn't exist, or no, that's not the problem, or, you know, a denial of it, she just simply said, oh, I have a pill for that. And she went to her room and came out with a pill. And I said, what is this? And it wasn't an Eastern medicine thing or, you know, like a Hanazha thing. She actually had a prescription for some sort of drug. I think it was Prozac at the time. So first of all, I was impressed that she knew which one was the right drug for it. She has several pills. I mean, she's approaching her mid-90s now, so she's quite old. But the way that she thinks about it, it's, oh, if you're going through something like this, then you just take medicine and you're feeling better. And I think that kind of simplistic view is very common amongst older Korean Americans. Like, oh, if I'm going through some sort of ailment, I just need to take something that'll make me feel better. And if you generalize that out, I just think about in Korea how the supplement industry is so big. Like, if you're bringing a gift to an older Korean American, you bring them what? Vitamins or...
Yes, U.S. vitamins are very popular gifts.
Is it Hongsam, the red ginseng? Yeah. You bring that to them and, like, give them as a gift. And there's this idea of, like, if you consume this stuff, you will be healthier. And I think that is this pervasive idea. So this idea of going to see a therapist is very foreign to them. It's like, why would I go to someone to talk about all these secret
pay them issues? To talk about these things? That's interesting, because I think on my maternal grandmother's side, so I'm closer to my maternal grandmother, and we kind of spoke more deeply about things. And I think the way that we talk about things is more of han or loneliness or things that may be affecting her. Hey, grandma, are you okay? Are you feeling lonely? But I would never use the words 정신건강 because there's still that stigma around and shame around people who are diagnosed with depression, for instance. They would never try to mention that to somebody else who's not a family member. And so growing up with those, you catch those things, right? With 눈치, you're like, oh, okay, these things are forbidden to be talked about. I think that's very interesting that that your grandmother would just be like, hey, I have a pill for that. And she knew about antidepressants and she would use them. But then that seems the other extreme of just trying to take things physically and try to cure mental illnesses through, you know, just physical means instead of actually going through the whole treatment. So
for her, there's this magic pill that would just make that problem go away. And on one end, I appreciate that she acknowledges that there are mental health problems. On the other end, I'm like, grandmother, you are not a pharmacist. You are not a doctor. Please do not dispense medications to our family.
Which is what we see our grandparents do, right? They just share their pills with with people. Hey, this worked for me. This should work for you, kind of thing. So
yeah. But going back to this article, it talks about how willing are older Korean Americans to seeking out mental health treatment, as well as these antidepressants. Well, what we do know is that racial and ethnic minorities are much less likely to seek out mental health services in general. And there's lots of reasons for it. Some of the ones I'm aware of is the lack of mental health professionals who look like them. So people who are fluent, not just in the language, but also the culture as well, being able to approach these ideas. Additionally, another barrier is cost. It's just very, very expensive unless you have insurance. And even with insurance, you're limited. You may not be able to get that one Korean therapist in your area because they're not with the insurance that you have.
Right.
And so, you know, how do you go around doing that? And then additionally, just this stigma of I'm going to talk to someone and then it's going to make me feel better. It's like, why would I pay money to someone to do that?
And I think it's not only ethnic minorities that struggle to receive treatment, but even amongst Asian Americans, people who are foreign born are reported to be less likely to use mental health services than people who are US born. And there was a large study that this article mentions, a large study based in Korea, where a researcher found that in 2009, people who were diagnosed with one or more psychiatric disorders, only 6% of them sought mental health services, and a quarter desired to handle their mental health disorder by themselves. Or believe that they had no mental illness. And so this just shows people living in Korea, there's just this lack of awareness as well as very, very big stigma on mental health. And then people who come from Korea, right, and immigrate to the US, they're going to hold those traditional beliefs in the Korean culture around that health just refers to physical health, that suppressing your emotions is actually a virtue. So there is a risk with our elderly population because they're mostly Korean born, they're not US born, and they hold those traditional Korean values and cultures within themselves regarding mental health.
And I want to sit with that statistic for a second. It's 6%. So if you know 10 people with a mental health disorder, like a diagnosed mental health disorder, not just someone saying they're depressed, but they actually got a diagnosis from a mental health professional or a doctor. 10 people, not even one of those, according to these statistics, would seek out mental health help. And that I think is pretty remarkable. It's like not even one out of 10 are willing to seek out help. And there's a lot of stigma against it. There's a lot of unknown. And frankly, amongst the various kinds of helping professions and medical professions, psychology is fairly new and psychiatry is fairly new comparative to the other ones. So we do know that Korean Americans who were born in Korea or immigrated to the US are much higher risk of not seeking out mental health services. Additionally, it's limited. And when I was reading that in the article, I kept thinking about, okay, let's pretend I'm an older Korean American and I'm going through something. How would I find someone? How would I find a mental health professional to help me out? And I kept thinking, well, typically access to the internet is not something that's going to be easy for me to do, much less Google searching, or if I was Korean, it'd probably be Naver searching. I also thought about, you know, how did my family find doctors for like medical things? And I realized that it was just knowing the Korean community and knowing who the Korean doctors were. Like, that's how we got medical help. I think it was in a previous episode that we talked about how if there were questions, like medical questions that my parents wanted to ask, they didn't necessarily go to their primary care physician. They invited the Korean doctor over for dinner. Mm-hmm. And you didn't talk about the medical problem during dinner. You enjoyed the meal. And then afterwards, when you go to the living room, sit down and the quiet comes out, and then there's like a little bit of coffee or tea, that's when the question comes out. It's like, hey, we have this thing going on. Is this something I should be worried about? But because there's so few Korean American mental health professionals, even that would not be as accessible for a lot of these families. In addition, the higher stigma against mental health issues, because I think at some level, mental health or mental illness is still seen as part of some sort of character weakness, that you weren't able to be resilient enough to fight this thing. And so with all those things combined, it's like, I can see someone having a lot of trouble. Or I can also imagine older Korean Americans saying, I'm going through this, let me go talk to my pastor or some sort of religious leader. Mm-hmm. And they'll try to handle it at that point. But let's say that religious leader just came to the conclusion that, oh, you need professional help. Do they even know who to refer to? And I think through some of the survey work and work that we've done through Mustard Seed Generation, we're discovering, no, not a lot of these church leaders don't know mental health professionals in the area who are Korean American.
And that's a great way to think about the barriers that our senior citizens experience in order to get to the treatment. We are not even talking about how do you continue treatment, right? We're only talking about getting to the door. I think another barrier would be a lot of these elderly population live with family members who support them, sharing and being a sense of burden is something that they might feel a lot of the times, and adding to the burden, saying, hey, I feel depressed, or I'm not feeling very well, which means, you know, that the family members have to support them even more. I think that might increase that sense of burden on the elderly population. So I think that's another barrier that we might not think about, that's not related to financial costs, but it might be like a family cost that comes with it.
Yeah, and I might be going off on a tangent with this comment. It's not hard for me to imagine an older Korean American who's living with their family or being supported by their family would say, oh, I'm not feeling well. I'm feeling lonely and depressed because my family won't talk to me, or my family won't spend time with me, or my children won't spend time with me. My grandchildren don't want to come to me. Mm. And it's the more and more I think about it, I wonder, because we've talked about how Korean American parents, their identity is tied into their children and the success of their children. And so now if you've spent years and years tying your identity with your children, when you're older, that enmeshment continues. And so when they talk to the older Korean American, their self-esteem improves, but their identity is almost lost without their children at that point. And so I think that's an overgeneralization, but I can't help but think about that as I'm reading through this as well.
Mm-hmm. So the researchers of this article wanted to study, how do the beliefs that these elder senior citizens have on mental health influence their willingness to use mental health counseling and use antidepressants? So in other words, are these people who believe that depression is more health-related concern condition? Are they more open to receiving counseling? And are elders who are more ashamed about mental health or mental illness, are they less willing to receive counseling? That's what they wanted to check. And they also wanted to compare whether Korean American elders are more open to counseling or taking antidepressants. So how was the research conducted, Dr. Sam?
Well, as you had mentioned before, this was published in 2018, but the data was collected in 2010. So it's been a while since this data was collected, but still, it's one of our very few windows into the Korean American population. I was impressed that they were able to collect 420 Korean American older adults. I believe they had to be at least 60 years of age, and they were mostly from the New York City area. Everyone was born in Korea and are living in the US. And on average, they've lived in the US for 24 years. And so wow, that's quite a number of years that these elders have lived in the US. Interestingly enough, even though they've lived in the US for over two decades, their acculturation was pretty low. And if you remember back from our previous episode, we talked about acculturations. How much of the American culture have you adopted or do you kind of interact with within your life? Roughly half were females, about two-thirds were married or currently married, and about 70% had completed at least a high school education. And there was tons of questionnaires that were sent out. And my guess is that this study was part of a larger study. So they collected demographic information, how much they've adopted the Western culture. They asked questions about their mental health needs that stretched across anxiety, depression, and just general mental health. And they also collected data about beliefs regarding depression. Mm-hmm. So what did they find? What were the results of all this?
Yeah. So I wanted to share some of the initial results where they found that more than half of them thought that depression was a normal part of aging. About 70% saw depression as a sign of personal weakness, 70% of them. And more than a quarter, about 26%, reported having a mentally ill family member actually brings shame to the family. So that was a little bit lower than I thought it would be, right? Mm-hmm. So 70% see depression as a sign of personal weakness, but only 26% see that having a mentally ill family member brings shame to the whole family. And almost 80% of the participants reported that they perceived depression as a medical condition. So that was way higher than I expected it to be. And 70% of them were willing to use mental health counseling, and 70% were also willing to take antidepressants.
There's a remarkable openness to mental health, yes, health that I was not expecting.
Right.
And one of the comments that could be made is, well, maybe this is because they lived in the US for so long that they're kind of more adopting the Western culture. But as we see from the data, the samples, like they're not. They were born in Korea and they still hold on to a lot of these Eastern values. I think one of the initial results that really struck me was that just over half thought that mental illnesses or depression is a normal part of aging. Like, as you get older, you're supposed to go through these things. Mm-hmm. And which is kind of sad. It's like, no, you don't have to. But they just thought that that's something that they have to go through.
Right.
So what are some other results that they found? Well, the participants who reported higher levels of anxiety and depression also reported higher levels of shame. So that's going back to this idea that 26%, so a quarter of them, one out of every four of these older Korean Americans thought that, hey, if anyone in the family has a mental illness, that's going to bring shame to the family. And I think our audience, if you've been listening to our episodes, shame in the family is a really big deal. There is a risk that that's going to contaminate the family reputation for generations moving forward. Like, you may just be known as the mental illness family, depending on how it's presented and how it's found out. Other interesting results that they found were that there were these older Korean Americans were more willing to use counseling and antidepressants if they believe that depression was a health condition. Like this was something that needed treatment from some sort of professional. Additionally, if they thought that these types of mental illnesses were not linked with family shame, they were not linked with some sort of embarrassment with the family, they were more likely to seek out help as well. And interestingly enough, if they were willing to seek out counseling, they were also willing to seek out antidepressants. So it wasn't one was more than the other, which surprised me, but I also recognize that my own personal experiences color that conclusion as well. Just thinking about my grandmother and her pharmacy load of pills that she takes at her age now, that I just thought that older Korean Americans were more willing to take medications, but it seems that it's linked. If they're willing to take medications, they're also willing to seek out professional help too.
As a conclusion, the researchers said that Korean American elders who believe that depression is a health condition, they are 2 times more willing to use mental health counseling than people who don't believe that depression is a mental health condition. And people who believe that depression is a health condition are 4 times more willing to use antidepressants than people who don't believe that depression is a health condition. So they were saying, to wrap up the study, the results of the study, a stronger belief about depression that it is a health condition, that it is treatable, it correlates to a better willingness to seek counseling and use antidepressants.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to this idea of how is mental illness seen within the Korean American community? Is it seen as a character flaw, a weakness, or something wrong with the family? Mm-hmm. Or is it a mental condition that can be treated?
Yeah.
And I think based on these results, if there is a belief that, this is a condition that can be treated, they're more willing to seek out that sort of treatment out there. And I think more work needs to be done through organizations like Must Receive Generation that bring awareness that mental illness is not a character flaw. It's not someone's will is too weak to be able to function. It's a condition. It's something that's just not right that can be treated either by a professional or medication, or in the best case scenario, both working in tandem with one another. Mm-hmm. So what are the implications of all this? Although, a lot of the study just seems like, no duh. It's like if they are open or they think it's a condition, then people are more willing to do it. But are there more subtle implications through this? Well, I think one of the big implications that come through in the study is Korean American elders are a high risk group. They are more likely to experience mental health problems throughout their lives. And there are tons of barriers for them to seek out mental health help. So that puts them considerably at risk. And so I would say with families who have an older Korean American who is living with them or they are caring for them, that there are a lot of barriers. And some of those barriers can be overcome through the help of the family who are fluent in using Google and going through the web and finding someone. Additionally, I think it's important for a lot of families to be aware of various resources that are coming up now. There's tons of resources like Must Receive Generation that have directories of Korean American therapists. There's a few other organizations that have directories out there, and just being cognizant of those resources, I think, could be a big help. Additionally, I would also say there's another implication, and this one goes out to the Korean American church leaders, mainly because churches still tend to be a hub of Korean American communities in various places across the country. Mm-hmm. And the question I would ask these church leaders are, do you know of mental health professionals in your area who are Korean American, who can work with people in your congregations? Mm-hmm. Another question that I would ask is, do you have mental health professionals in your congregation? And do you know who they are? And do you know how they work? And can you refer people to them?
Those are great resources, like you mentioned. And it's churches, but churches need to work in tandem with senior centers and elder associations. And in New York, for instance, some cities might have more of these things, but community centers, right? Korean community centers that provide public health services to our Korean population. Those are great places to visit or call and ask what kind of resources they provide and have that at hand as a church leader, as a faith leader, and or as a parent, as a child of an elder senior citizen, and make sure to talk to them, talk to your elders about what are their needs? What are they experiencing? Helping them get connected to those services would be great. And like we mentioned, there are so many other barriers other than just lack of awareness, right? So lack of education is very important, but that also needs to go. That's not the only barrier that our elders are facing. So helping them see that there are other services such as financial support, health insurance support, or in providing them with English language support whenever they're going to these services or seeking out these services, I think would be a great way to support them.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing I'm going to throw into there is there are a lot more resources today than there were before. I mean, granted, we still need more. We still need a lot more Korean American mental health professionals out there. But if you can't find someone in your local city or local area, or a particular elder is unable to transport themselves to a mental health professional on a regular basis, there is now teletherapy. And so if there is a therapist who is licensed in the state, they can probably provide teletherapy to anyone within that state as well. And if you find someone who is licensed in multiple states, they can do teletherapy across there too. And teletherapy is nice because the elder doesn't have to transport themselves somewhere. And watching my 94-year-old grandmother use an iPad so deftly, especially when she knows this is how she can talk to all of her children, I'm pretty sure she can figure out how to use her iPad to connect with a mental health professional. And if not, you know, my uncle lives with her and he can help her with that. And various family members can help them with that video connection as well.
That's great. So check out mustardseedgeneration.org. We have a free online directory of Korean American mental health professionals who are culturally and linguistically competent. Also, as Dr. Sam mentioned, if you're looking for training your church leaders, Mustard Seed Generation provides mental health training for church leaders specifically. And so check out more at mustardseedgeneration.org.
Well, that was a lot that we talked about today. We're approaching the penultimate episode of season two. And next week, we are talking about racial discrimination, distress, coping motives, and alcohol-related problems among U.S.-born Asian American young adults. So we're going from the elders to the young adults next week. So we'll hope you'll join us then.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed our episode, please subscribe to our podcast and check out more at mustardseedgeneration.org
and samuelykim.com. To keep these episodes coming, rate and share on wherever you listen to this podcast.